March 28, 1993, Robert Robb speaking at the Barnyard Community Room in Carmel, California. Start taping this part. A little review from previous sessions for those that are here. This is the decade of truth, this decade being the 90s. And so what's really coming up for everybody is all these hidden agendas and issues, and showing in many ways. There's a lot of abuse issues coming up, but there's also all the manipulations and the lies that everybody's bought into. The government and the school system and your parents and grandparents and friends and family and partners. Everybody has hidden agendas, and they're all starting to expose themselves. And this decade of truth that we're in is all about how to go into the light, the way, the truth, and the light, how to get into these lighter frequencies of truth without physical discomfort, so that you can have this light body, so you can do your ascension, you can do your expansion. Yeah, we'll talk about ascension. Excuse me. So we're expanding in our DNA, and we're expanding in our cellular systems into more fourth and fifth dimensional frequencies. And I define the fourth dimension for me as that of time or timelessness. Third dimension's height, width, and depth. And fifth dimension is that of the matter or dissolution of matter. And so what's happening, and for many of you, you'll probably recognize some of the fatigue symptoms or some of the confusions or different things going on with your bodies, or especially in relationship. What's happening these days as we expand into these other frequencies is that we're being asked to let go of a lot of belief systems and a lot of lack of truth that seems so true, until in retrospect we look back and go, I can't believe I bought into that. But our body, while we're buying into it, totally holds on to it and wants to validate it as a reality. And this fourth dimensional expansion, and bear with me, those of you who've heard me say this before, I'll do it quickly. The fourth dimensional expansion is in time. And many of you may have noticed that we're on a 13-day week right now. What you used to be able to do in 7 days now takes 2 weeks to do. And for those of you who are workaholics and try to do that 7 days worth in 7 days now, it'll kill you. That's one of the cool things about the expansion, is eventually you get so tired that you have to do it effortlessly and easily. You don't have the energy to pretend to do the lies anymore, to do the resistance. And this time change that's happening isn't changing in the way our eyes look at it. When I look at my watch, I still see 12 little dots on it. It needs 24 dots, or 23, however, 23 and a half, however that comes out to. So what's happening in this expansion is we're being asked to really come into different truths, not just the truth as to who we are as human beings, but into the bigger pictures, who we are as light beings. We're expanding more and more into light. That way, truth is the light. And this expansion is coming, the first off, through time. We're starting to see that we're not limited to the concepts we always thought we were. It used to be you have to be linear. You had to do this today, and it led to this, and it led to that. And how many of you are noticing that things aren't the way they used to be? You used to be able to do this, this, and this, and it would equal this. It usually equals that lately. There's a lot of changes happening in time, and you're being asked to let go of your attachment to what time is and what your identity is in relation to it, as well as in your relationship to matter. The fifth dimensional frequency shift is about matter, or it doesn't matter. I imagine a few of you have gotten tired enough lately where you start thinking it doesn't matter so much anymore. The fatigue level is really an exciting process. What's that saying I said to you guys before? You finally made me so mad I have to tell you how I really feel. Well, you're making yourselves so tired, you have to listen to how you really feel. I'm going to keep your neck very busy. There. Right there. Don't move. So in the fifth dimension, we're really starting to spread out molecularly. Time and its relativity to matter isn't the same as it used to be. Everything you think, do, and say is getting created much more rapidly. The minute you say something, duck, because it's coming right at you. And Dale Carnegie warned all of you. He gave you advance notice when he talked about the power of positive thinking, and everybody talked about that fool. Well, he was ahead of himself, and we are up to speed now. And in this fifth dimensional expansion, if you're not really attentioning your truth, if you're not letting yourself go with the flow, if you're trying in self-esteem needs or whatever to maintain a certain appearance or a certain vibration so everybody will like and love you the way you are, even though you're not being your true self, you're going to have a lot of physical discomfort. You're going to, relationship's going to do exactly what relationship's for, and that means make the shit hit the fan. So it's totally what relationship's all about. It's a success when that happens in relationship, not a failure. Does that make sense? Has everybody gotten my little... Chris Griscom calls it picking your executioner. Yeah. Four. Yeah, so with these shifts, we're really being asked to let go of these identities and become who we really are. And who we really are, like childlike little beings. Human beings, not human doings. These childlike beings that just go from one moment to the next aren't attached linearly to, well, first I have to be this, and then I get to be that, and then I'm this. If you watch little kids play, they totally have it figured out. I'll be the good guy, no, and you be the bad guy, and 2 seconds later, well, I'll be the bad guy, and I want to be the bad guy, you be the good guy, or I'll serve the tea, you make the cake, and we all switch and switch. And when adults do it, we all have to do it by appointments. I'll be the good guy for 20 minutes, and the bad guy for 20 minutes, and time is just not working anymore. And the scientist in the newspaper a few months ago, Adolphine Carroll, when she spoke in here, pulled out an article that says information is going to double every day by the year 2012. And it's doubling every 100 years right now. And just 10 years ago, they figured it doubled every 1,000 years. We're exponentially folding time. Things are getting much more quick. We're in the process of quickening our vibration. And if you're not quickening along with it, if you're resisting, if you're afraid, we'll talk some about fear, I imagine, today. Again, for those who haven't heard that chat. But the bottom line is, if you're not going along with the flow, and if you're attached to an identity and it's not your true identity, it's going to be interesting. And it probably has been interesting. So what we'll chat about today are some certain frequencies beyond the ones I've chatted about before that limit you, so that you can make some choices to be the best you can be. Effortlessly and easily and fearlessly, one would hope. Sound like a good plan? Oh, good. I love that. That first little exercise I gave you is really fun to check in with once in a while. It lets you know what's up. It shows you right what your fear is at the moment. And always remember, this is a reminder for those of you who've heard me say it before, but for the new people, fear, there's nothing broken. There is no such thing as fear. It's not real. It's an anticipatory energy. It's false evidence appearing real. It's about what might happen. In other words, you're not in the moment. The reason little kids aren't very afraid and you say, don't go up there, you're going to fall and get hurt, is because they're not 2 seconds ahead of time. They can care less. They're just fully present in the moment. In fact, in the times in your life when your worst fears have happened, you've been too busy handling them to be afraid. The minute you back off of it and go, oh my God, is when the fear sets in. So with anything I talk about today, if it puts you into fear or reminds you of a fear, or you get to hear different topics and you start daydreaming off, get back in your body, get back in the moment, do a personal inventory. Just check in for a moment. Where is your body in time and space? Look and see who's around you. How are you feeling from head to toe? Get present. When you stay present, there's no time for fear. You're only dealing with the moment. So take the time to do that. Okay. Make sure I covered all the things I want to say. I'm taping this, and the tapes are $15. And there's a little sign-up sheet in the back of the room, and I'll mail them to you. The future talks that I'm going to do, I forgot the dates that I've scheduled them for. There's next month's is on that flyer. I won't be doing one in May. We'll probably be out of town the whole month of May. June, July, August, and September, I believe they will be the last Sunday of each month from 4 until 6, but the bookstores in town, Thunderbird and Pilgrim's Way, we'll have my flyers, as well as those of you who are on my mailing list. When Martin and I create a new flyer, we will get it out to you so you can know what's up. And today, when we're done today, you can fight and scrape your way up to visit with me during the 10 or 20 minute break we'll take. But when it's over, I'm going to pack up things and go. I actually had people that came all the way from Texas to see me talk. That's how special I feel today. Some friends of ours from Texas, and we're going to run away afterwards. So catch me with quick questions, 30 seconds or less, in the 20-minute gap. Okay, so as an alarm clock, I believe I'm here to help people wake up. And a lot of times at 6 in the morning when an alarm clock goes off, we do not like our alarm clock. It's not our favorite thing. Now, after we're awake, we think it might be a really cool thing. So I really am encouraging you, if I say anything, because today I actually have a pretty light chat. But if I say something that pushes buttons or you find upsetting, speak up, because we can process it. We can show you what's limiting you in it, and that's why you're here. What we're here for is to have the prima donna plan, to really be these childlike light beings on the planet having a great time and really understanding how to manifest. All this working for money stuff, get over it. We're going to have to talk about that today for sure. So, you know, I'm going to exchange all my glorious, wonderful energy for $20. It's not the way it needs to work. Everything outside of you is a reflection of core belief systems. Everything. And if you believe you're only 20% valuable, you're going to have to work your ass off 80% to make up the difference. So what we can do is find ways to make our, and quit listening to all the lies. This is the decade of truth. The systems lied to all of you about how it has to be. Look around. All those people who told you how it has to be, is it working for them?
Yeah.
And thanks for playing that game. So we're going to talk about some ways to manifest today that are a little bit more effortless and easy, and it might bring up fears, and you don't have to do it, but you might want to consider it. Amen. So as an alarm clock, we will ring that one out today. Let me make sure. This DNA expansion we're going through, it's real important that you guys really see that it's happening. It's not because you didn't eat right. It's not because you're not exercising properly and all that bullshit people want to tell you about diet and exercise. It's real important that you just eventually get and figure out that it's all belief systems. And it will look like diet and exercise. It will look like work and money. And it will look like relationship. That's when you do it third dimensionally. When you really come to home, everything outside of you is a reflection of what you believe inside. And so I'm going to come home to that a lot today. I will talk about easy and effortless things. I don't believe in doing things the hard way. So I would really like to emphasize simple things. They might sound too simple. And if they're too simple and you really like working hard, ignore me. It's your choice. My way doesn't work for everybody right off the bat, but it will work for you eventually. And if your way isn't working for you, what do you got to lose? Worst that'll happen is you'll be right where you were to start with. Okay. So the physical discomfort, this emotional stress that's going on, these exhaustion levels, wishing to be someone else somewhere. How many people wish they lived in another town lately? How many people we got? How many people don't feel at home? How many people don't feel understood even when they're talking to people who know them? Yeah. How many people are drinking more water lately? I wanted to see everybody's hands go up. I couldn't help it. No particular reason, except that your whole cellular systems are changing where you're not going to need food. How many people are getting really bored with eating? Yeah. And we eat out every day, twice a day, and I'm over it. I'm tired of food. There's a lot of shifts happening in your bodies as you expand into these light beings going through this DNA shift. And you're getting more and more to be like breatharians, and so you're going to go into eating lighter foods and then fluids and then sun as a radiation source and then light bodies after that on a very exponential rate. Your cells are pre-encoded to turn into light when there's sufficient love. This is my last history chat that most of you have heard before, and then we'll move forward. A group of scientists that I got the privilege of playing with a few years ago at the International Forum on New Science listened to a number of us talk about the DNA shifts and the 10 missing DNA strands getting reintroduced into our bodies and what those abilities would be that would be reflected and what that all meant. And what they got mostly from it is that the DNA is all about turning our bodies into light vehicles. With the new information, we'll be able to be multidimensional beings, still in a conscious format, doing third-dimensional experiences in a multidimensional way. And they went back to their lab, and one of the experiments they did is they surrounded this vacuum where they had the DNA molecules in there, and they held hands and sent love to it, and the DNA turned into energy. In other words, it turned into light. And so what they have hypothesized, which is just a redundancy, I mean, but they have hypothesized that if you have sufficient love, you will turn into light just like popcorn. So, and effortlessly and easily. And love has nothing to do with your GPA. It has nothing to do with how much money you make or what a nice person you are. I know some really loving people that I can't stand because they reflect my issues back at me. It's not them. It's me. So we just get to work on ourselves. We get to work on our self-love, not our love of others. Even though we aren't separate from each other, it's a nice start to love others because you really are loving you. And eventually it makes it easier for us to love ourselves. But that's the homework right now, is to figure that plan out. Energy is a really fascinating thing. We're going through, everybody wants to do this ascension thing. I hear it a lot lately, so I'm going to chat about it for a couple of seconds. You guys are already in the midst of ascension. You are doing it. It is happening. You ever looked at your grade school pictures when you were a senior in high school and you go, God, I thought I always looked the same. I didn't know I was such a squirt. And you look back, you go, oh my God, I thought I was so cool. I remember in the eighth grade when I was macho, man. And all you see is this little kid. Ascension, you're already in the midst of it. If you'll learn to stay present in your bodies in the moment and take a photograph of you and compare it into history, you'll see you've come a very long ways. And you've lightened up quite a bit. And you are figuring things out, and you are in the midst of ascension. You are in the midst of having a light body. That everybody wants to have this miraculous kind of expansion instantly, and they're going for the feeling. And so in going for the feeling, you totally miss that you are in the process. If you'll stay in the moment, you'll get you're right in the midst of it and get to have that feeling and have that joy. But if you're projecting to the future, you're going to miss it. Energy can't be destroyed. It only goes through transmutation. And the caterpillar to the chrysalis to the butterfly is one example. But it works in a match too. You can take a match and it has this potential energy, and you strike this match and it releases heat and gases and other energies through combustion, and the gases, the heat does certain things that make our bodies, if it's close enough, do certain energies, and it makes for gases in the environment that can later on go to make clouds or rain or other aspects of what we're breathing. And then we breathe it through and it brings life to our bodies, and we recycle it out through here, and then we take those hands and make a new match and start all over again. Everything just transmutes. Everything just changes. There is no such thing as death. There is no such thing as disillusion. It's just transition. You guys are all in the process of transition. You are in ascension. So if you are looking for ascension, congratulate yourselves. You're in the midst of it. If you want to be one of the chosen, you just simply have to choose yourself. It's really not such a hard thing, but the system in this decade of truth, we're finally getting to see that you've all been lied to. Everybody's expecting to get rescued. A Cinderella story 101, we expect our parents to rescue us, or the doctors to rescue us, the police to rescue us, the school system, the government, the space people, God. Get over it. You're going to rescue somebody, rescue yourself. And that's part of what we're going to chat about tonight. I think we'll just get right into it. Ascension, by the way, occurs when the cellular beingness is readied for these accelerated rates. And that's what this DNA shift's all about. And you're in the process of readying yourselves. You are not bad people. You are not eating right. You're not overworking. You're not cool. You're just in the process of getting your systems ready. And the more resistance you have to it, or the more fear, the more uncomfortable it is. Don't beat yourselves up for it. Get back in the moment, do a present inventory, and go, what is it I'm missing? If you'll stay present, you won't be afraid. You might scare the jeebies out of everyone else who's counting on you, but that's their problem. Responsibility. Whoever invented that? So, before we do rescuing, I want to chat about a technique. I'm going to do a commercial. Everybody has, and then we'll take a little couple-minute break. And there's the commercial before the break. Back in 2 minutes and 2 seconds. Somebody else watches Chuck Woolery. It's not just me. Okay. So there's one of the techniques I do. Most of you who have had readings with me know that I do aura color readings or a variety of different chats with angels and guides, and mainly directed at purpose on the planet or being the best you can be. And a few of you have done a process with me that goes under a number of names, redecision therapy, or life choice, or flame work, and I'd like to talk about that a little bit because I believe most people can benefit from that. So I'll let you guys decide. In the back of the room is a piece of paper that talks about it a little bit with a photocopy of my business card. So if it interests you, grab it and you can chat with me about it. My sessions are $200. They last an hour and a half. And this redecision therapy process will last at least an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours with me. Same price. I love doing commercials. It's so fun. Many of us, when you make a decision when you're younger that life isn't worth living, but you continue on living, and it's through the abuse issues or the disempowerments or the fears or whatever came up, when you make a choice inside in that short order chef, your cellular system, to cut back in energies, but your body keeps moving forward, it's like you have a little black cloud over your head or you have an immune system shut down. So we have fatigue, Epstein-Barr, AIDS. We seem to put a lot of energy out and not get what we want back. We do everything perfect but still don't feel fulfilled and whole because we're really not doing it for us. We're working against ourselves. We can't feel fulfilled or whole. We've done a death wish. We're checking out. But we don't just get to drop dead. We just get to wear ourselves out and we feel like we're constantly working against ourselves. Let's see, there's a few people in here I've done that work with. You want to say anything about it, Melanie? Yeah, bottom line. Now, I'm the only one here who does it. we're going to be training some people pretty soon, so there'll be more people around doing it. But this process is about going to your core cellular system and redeciding to live. And so since we're talking about cellular change and cellular expansion, it really is about hidden agendas, about disempowerments, about really shorting out at a core level. And not really knowing that we've done that. It comes into two points. There is the CSX point and the heart point. And the heart point biokinetically on the body is where the Zaid process meets. And so for those of you who, the heart point usually goes out when it's anger associated with the same-sex person, usually a parent or somebody very close to you, babysitter, teacher. If you were incested by a babysitter and it was a same-sex babysitter, the heart point will go out. And for those of you who feel your heart points out, touch where your ribs come together at the very top, that little ooey spot called the xiphoid process, and if you'll hold it, you'll feel energized. You're completing a circuit to bring energy to it, but it's really tricky to walk around life like this. Yeah. Now, if both points are out, you can't get shit then. The CSX point, which is circulation sexuality, is the opposite sex parent or close person, and it's mid-nipple line, mid-sternum. And that points out on most people. That's a real tricky one. When the CSX point goes out, it's about your creativity, about your sexuality, about your presentation of you on the planet. I'm here, ta-da. I'm not brave enough to be the real me. Or I am brave enough to be the real me if I just walk around like this. It's kind of half a da-da. Yeah. The heart point's about anger. And the anger can become self-criticism. It can become an intense anger. The sexuality and creativity will show in different ways. It could be a sex love and sex addiction, or it could be the minute you get to that wonderful level of intimacy that it starts shorting out. All of a sudden you think everything's cool, you're really in love, and your sexuality goes right down the tubes because you got too intimate. You're not supposed to have fun and joy. You have a CSX flame out. That part's blown out. And so sex goes right out the door, and it's not because you're not sexy or that person isn't great. It's a sabotage, a self-sabotage system. And that also has to do with creativity. Sexual energy, creativity, exactly the same. That's why everybody wanted to sleep with Elvis and the Beatles. All they were doing is singing. Except Elvis was doing a little more, but he added on to it, okay. But it's all about creative expression. People fall in love with movie stars. They don't fall in love with me. I'm a heartbreaker. The energy comes at me. Even when I'm standing in front doing my thing, some of you guys are saying, well, he's not too bad. He isn't, but he's taken. So you'll project energies on other people in looking for self-love. We are always projecting outside of ourselves, looking to find that love for ourselves that we talked about. When we have a short out, it'll show up in our intimacy and in our creative expression. How many people in this room, you know, really say to themselves, I can't sing, or I'm not creative, or I can't... And everybody is. everybody is a creative, expressive being. We were from day one, and it got shorted out. And a lot of people are holding their power back, holding back in the joy, and suffering fear and limitation because of a belief that you want to die. And for those of you that want to die, I don't recommend coming and see me. You're right on schedule. For those of you that this sounds familiar for, you might want to call me, and we'll do the process. It's about saving your life. And so, yes, this is a commercial. At the same time, it's real important to stay conscious and pay attention to wishes and death wishes we may have made. There are specific points in life where it just got to be too much for many people. And it's intense. And it can be undone, and you get to be the one that undoes it. We're going to talk about rescuing in a minute. I am not a rescuer, but I am very good at holding a space so that you can do your own work. You do your own healing here. No more giving your power away to other people. I'm just one more lost soul here who just happens to have rhetoric. I can rattle some things off. Hey, Julie. So when these two points are out or either of them out, you're constantly working against yourself. It is, I'm just saying this, I'm not trying to drum up business, I got plenty of people, but for those of you who think you might need it, call me. As soon as we get some people trained, we'll also be having more people in the area. If you really feel that that's going on, let me know. And we'll set it up, and there's forms in the back. It's very intense time as we go through this cellular changes. We're having a lot of autoimmune stuff happening, and one of the main reasons I'm seeing it in people is they have a death wish going. And they just really don't want to be on this planet, yet we're really just, life is something that happens while you wait to die. If that sounds familiar, give me a call. Then we'll just make it either so you decide to go and die right away or go the other way. We can make it a quick process, either direction. So this therapy technique is called redecision therapy. And let's see. I'm going to hand out a few things here in regards to it, besides that. We're back. And so I was alluding to rescuing as one of the topics, and I haven't really thought it through. I put down some ideas that came up, and so I might ramble around on it. And so catch me if I'm not making sense and bring me back, and I will do my best to put it in some sort of linear order instead of being Mr. Holograph today. We have a society, or we have a planet, but right now let's just pick on America since it's the number one rescuing agent on the planet. Most of you have heard me talk about the victim, persecutor, rescuer triangle, and some of you even do it in your work, but I'm going to reiterate it again because it leads into this. In relationship, and relationships, whether you're in line at the bank with people next to you here, relationship with me, whether we're having external dynamics or not, or with partners. When I say relationship, I mean where you fit in time and space and with other individuals. When you're in relationship, a very fascinating thing happens. We get to see people do victimizing. And we can all take turns in this, by the way. We get to just have roommates for a month. You'll get it. We get to do victimizing, and we get to do perpetrating, and then we also get to rescue. So you'll need at least two other roommates to do it. Takes three. And so the victimizer or the perpetrator is after that poor victim, and the victim's doing their victim role really well, and it never fails there's this rescuer that comes in and wants to save them. And in America, you get brownie points for being a rescuer. The Boy Scout manual says kill yourself saving somebody from drowning. We give medals to heroes who get body parts blown off by doing some foolish thing called rescuing. America is so busy rescuing the rest of the world that it hasn't got time for its own. The trick with the rescuer is that everybody dumps the energy on the rescuer. The rescuer gets weighed down while the persecutor and the victim go off and go cause trouble somewhere else. The rescuer is just too busy. Look at the United States. When Florida and Kauai got blasted, and when you wait till this snow melts, there's going to be some real interesting things happening in California pretty soon, including some pretty big earthquakes when that groundwater happens come May. There will be no money to rescue you guys, so I'd start suggesting getting over expecting to be rescued, expecting to rescue, or you're going to either... Well, the number one thing you're going to see is California has already got its arms pretty full. The United States has got its arms totally full. There is no money to help at home. We're so busy trying to be the rescuer and look like Dudley Do-Right out there saving the rest of the world. and it's really coming home, and it's coming home quick. The way to help heal it on the planet is to get over being rescuers yourself, or get over expecting to be rescued. And we have serious judgments about people who won't rescue. I mean, it got conditioned into us very early. So many ways to word this. But I'm going to pick on one specific. I love giving my family stories. So I have a 17-year-old daughter, and when she was 15 or 16, she called me up and said, "Dad, I want to come live with you. I'm really tired of living with this obnoxious stepdad and absent mom." And I said, "Well, sorry, Nicole. I love you very much, and I can't rescue you. No, you can't come live with me. I traveled 3 weeks out of the month, and I'm more of a kid than you are. They might be dysfunctional, but at least they act like parents, or they try to pretend to be like parents. And I know that it would actually be better for her to live with me, but it wouldn't be better for me for her to live with me." And being a very selfish person, I said, "No. I'm going to kill myself," was the next thing that came out of her mouth. Now, when my daughter says that, she means it. And so that was a very interesting moment. And my choice was to say to her, "I really hope that you don't do that. There are a number of other choices you could make, and here's some of them. But you don't get to come live with me, and I hope you don't kill yourself. And if you do, I'd like to use you as one of my guides. Would you mind volunteering?" I'm a very sick person, so you might as well know who you're talking to. Now, I'm very grateful she didn't kill herself. Had she killed herself, I have to let you know it wouldn't be my fault. It'd be Nicole's choice. Even though our society says, "But she's just a little girl. You're supposed to rescue this little girl. You're supposed to teach her that you're going to sacrifice your life for her when she learns to play the right cards. When she plays her ace, you're supposed to recognize you just got beat." Well, I told her, "We're playing a different game. Aces don't count." And it was very intense, and it was some pretty tight moments. I love telling the story to people because it pisses a lot of people off, and it makes them really nervous. And had she killed herself, it would have been a better story. Oh, yeah. Did that get some people? We're in a society where if you rescue people, you're wonderful, even if it costs you your life, if it costs you your energy. I call that workaholics. I call that perfect mom. The saint, the rescue angels on the planet. We're 90% of this room can raise their hand on some of this. We expect either to be rescued or to rescue, and in the act of rescuing, we're wonderful people. And wonderful people will come and rescue us, like Cinderella. Cinderella is a very true story, but always remember about fairy tales, the first two-thirds sucks. Always. There's a lot of sleep people with pricked fingers and poison apples and dwarves and towers and long hair and brambles. And then you get to rescue yourself in the end, but that's only 10 seconds of the whole movie. The first 90% plus is all about struggle and staying awake and staying conscious and owning your own power. So that Boy Scout manual I talked about, that I got to see the Boy Scout manual. I imagine the Girl Scout manual might have similar things. I've never read it. I don't know. But we were taught that you get merit badges for doing self-sacrifice things. That was very fascinating. If I would take the chance by walking some old lady across a busy intersection, instead of saying, "Look, you've lived long enough, you must obviously know how to cross a street. I'm the young one, why don't you walk me across the street?" Got it all backwards. We go and get ourselves killed walking some old lady across the street who obviously knows how to do it. Or if we save somebody from drowning, I remember a lot of the guys that were little Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts with me always talked about could hardly wait till they got to save somebody. I'm going, it'll probably kill you. What's your hurry to go and drown for somebody else? But it makes me a hero. It makes me important. It makes me love worthy. We really have been brought up to believe that God's going to rescue us, the police, the church. I made a little list. The parent system, the doctors, partners, friends, close other ones, God, space people, the new one. For those of you who have recognized lately, the space people are everywhere. They are everywhere. And they have been for a very long time, but more and more people are getting conscious of them. And now they're starting to put their energy toward, well, the space people will save us just before the planet dunks itself. Get over it. I'll give you an even better one. This is the one I love that just came through the other day. Jesus was the perfect rescuer. The Cub Scout Boy Scout manual is also the Bible. All he did was go around and rescue people, and it made him a wonderful person. Everybody thinks he's so great. But being that God is a totally conscious person and understands you don't give your power away and rescue people, when Jesus was on the cross and said, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" He said, "Because I totally understand the big picture, I'm not going to rescue you." For those of you who believe in the Bible, that's a fair translation, I imagine. It's all about showing that, I mean, the Bible really clearly tells you. It's all about not rescuing. Here's the parent not rescuing the kid. But when I told you about my daughter, it was pretty intense. God didn't save Jesus either. I'm in good company. That book even proves I'm a cool person. It's a, there's a lot of different layers at which to look at these judgments and these limitations, but it's very, very important that you start looking at rescuing and expecting to be rescued. A lot of people's dis-ease and dysfunction is a condition to get rescued, to tell your truth that you want to really just be you. And we've talked about that before, the four stages of telling your truth. The first one being you absolutely tell your truth and live your life by it and accept the consequences, good, bad, or indifferent. Usually bad or indifferent if you're really trying to participate with the other 99% of the people who are sound asleep out there. They don't like people who tell the truth. They call you selfish, self-centered, arrogant, irresponsible, unconscious. Takes one to know one. Level one's really tricky. You tell the truth and you get a lot of shit come your way. So most people jump into level two, and level two is drama and crisis. I may just want to be seen, and I say, "Look, look at me," and nobody will look at me, so that truth isn't working. That doesn't seem to work all the time. So maybe if I cause some trouble or I have a little drama, will you like me or love me now? If that doesn't work or not to my satisfaction, and usually not telling your truth leads to total dissatisfaction, because the only way to really love and like yourself is to love and like yourself and be yourself. So if you try stage two, it'll inevitably lead to stage three, which is dis-ease. The dis-ease process comes in, am I now sick enough where you'll like me, love me, or rescue me? If that process doesn't work, which it usually won't if you're really counting on that process to do it and don't get conscious, then it will go to stage four. The stage four, DEFCON 4, for those military people in here, which means death. Stage four means pending death. And the example I used before, I'll do again, is the little kid who doesn't want to go to school. "I don't want to go to school today." You have to go to school. You're going to grow up to be a stupid person. What are you going to fall back on when you break your arms and legs? You know, how are you going to have friends? Plus, I need a babysitter. Get the hell out of the house. Don't usually tell you that part. That's the real truth. I wish they'd have said the real truth, but that's a whole other issue. So they sent us off to torture camp thinking everything was cool. And these days, it's an exaggeration, but I don't know anybody would put their kids in school these days. So that little kid goes, I don't want to go to school for whatever reason. When you tell your truth, you don't have to explain it. "I don't want to." It's one of the best things kids say. The other best explanation they have is "cause." What are you going to do? "Cause." I can't think of a better answer than that. If anybody comes up with one, let me know. It's like the kids really understand the best answers to things. So if that doesn't work, we go to stage two. And "I don't want to go to school. I want to go to school. I'm going to tear up the homework. I'm going to kick the dog. I'm going to spill my cereal. See?" Well, now you're really going to school. Let it be their problem. And so we're off to school we go. So usually we find that stage three works really well, and that's dis-ease. Or for my family, 104 degrees was the magic dis-ease number. Every family has different ones starting at around 102. My family's pretty dysfunctional. You had to be almost dead to really get heard. So the way it is. And so at 104, I got to stay home from school. So how many people know when they want to call in to not go into work that they don't call in and say, "I'm not coming into work, tough shit." Or they don't go, "I'm going to come in and tear up all these papers and I hate all of you." Or, "I got a flat tire, I've had a bad day, my wife just left me, I can't come to work." Or they go right to stage three. "I'm sick." 104 for me. Instant 104 not to show up for work. We get conditioned at a very early age to learn that if we're going to tell our truth and be heard, we have to go to stage two or three or four. So many of us believe we have to get sick enough to be heard, that we just want to be loved on. You get to see this a lot during family reunions or Christmas time. A lot of people get sick around Christmas, and it's because they can't handle all that energy, and they can't say to their family, "I can't stand all of you." It's really true. "Can't stand you." So stage two is, well, I'm going to argue with my sister, I'll have a fight, and they're all going to leave early, thank God. Got them out of the house. I may have got an ulcer, but I got them out of the house. Which leads into stage three. If they stick around any longer, they're going to make me sick. Yeah. Or we're going to make ourselves sick. So we start making ourselves sick in order to get them out of the house. Well, everybody's sick in the house, you got to go. I've seen it so many times. So many of my clients have done this. And we need to watch out for doing that in the workplace or doing it in relationship, doing it in our day-to-day life. It's real important to figure out what your truth is. And we all do this. And it's really scary to tell our truth because a lot, especially when it ties into rescuing. We're going to scare off our rescuers or we're going to be a bad person because we're telling the truth. And how dare we? That's not what a rescuer does. We don't tell people the truth. We sacrifice ourselves for them. Eh. Another time I will say, get over it. Which I learned from Miss Rainbow, my favorite saying. When I was in psych school, freshman year, and those of you who are psych people, you probably did this exact same thing, so tell me if you had this. Freshman year, psych 101 type class, and they assign you on the weekend to go to this certain room at an appointed time for a 10-minute appointment. And in that, you walk into the room and there's three other students and you with four chairs lined up, and then one chair right in front with a professor or a teaching assistant sitting there. And being normal human beings, we go in and think it's us against them. So you start going in and you mingle with these other three people, not knowing that there are other teaching assistants or professors, that you've been totally set up. Then you sit down in the chairs thinking, well, I've got my comrades with me. Of course, they work it out, so you sit in chair number four. And there's chair number one, two, and three. And the professor says, okay, I'm going to make a statement, and I'd like to hear what you feel about it. And so they make this statement, which is obviously a lie. And person number one goes, well, it's absolutely the truth. I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. And in fact, anybody who doesn't agree with you is stupid. It's person number two. I totally agree with you. In fact, if anybody doesn't agree with you, I'd beat them up. They're just really sick people. They need America, love it or leave it. And we get person number three. The same thing. I really love it. Only weak and insignificant people would see it any other way. And then it's your turn. Being that I was really an obnoxious person, it's one of the few tests I passed, but I passed this one. And I did pass it by saying, well, I agree with all of them, and I have some other parts. But life is that way for all of us, and that's set up. And what they found is over 90% of the people will totally make up an agreement with those three people, even though they know it's a lie. They don't want to go against the grain, they don't want to be seen in whatever light they're going to be seen, and they don't want to be valueless, powerless, or not very safe. These people are either going to beat them up, tell them they're slime, or stomp on them energetically. It's very intense. We get the peer conditioning that the school system does and that this brought out is intense. And we're really, really having to stay conscious about why we do what we do. Are we doing it for us or are we doing it for them? Selfish or otherish? And if you're doing it for you, you will feel fulfilled, whole, satisfied, complete, even if it was just playing pickup sticks. If you did something absolutely perfect, you think it's really great, and you don't feel fulfilled, whole, satisfied, you didn't do it for you. You did it for those four people. I.e. the rest of the world, trying to look and be a certain way. And if that's the test, you might want to take that test on yourself. If you fail that test, you really need to start coming back into your body, being present in the moment, and start telling your truth. And watch to see if you're doing stage two, three, or four to get your truth listened to. With this DNA shift that's happening, a lot of people are instantly going to stage three. We're having low backs go out, we're having chronic fatigue, we're having autoimmune system shutdowns, we're having suicide, we're having AIDS, we're having a very, very intense time. And relationships are really doing the best they can because they're really getting awful, which is what relationships are all about. A successful relationship is where you finally get close enough with somebody that all your worst fears can get processed. You're not going to do an abandonment issue with somebody in line at the bank. And I know you guys have heard me say this before. Don't go to window number two, I was just getting to know you. We're going to process those issues with our executioners, a la Chris Griscom. And so we've been taught to believe that anytime something is uncomfortable or discomforting, that it's bad. That's a judgment. It's simply, and it's a judgment that limits you. Then we go and try to medicate ourselves. We'll medicate ourselves in love and sex and food and work and play and money. And if some heaven helps the person that gets between us and those things, while we try to cover up. And in this whole cycle of rescuing, the whole time we're wishing to God, being one of the rescuers, that somebody would rescue us. Again, I want to say, if you want to be one of the chosen, you have to choose yourself. That's what it's coming down to. That's the bottom line. This whole frequency shift, all this energy that's happening, is about finally making yourself so exhausted that you don't have the energy to pretend anymore. If you'll catch that cycle, you don't have to get exhausted to do it. You just start being you. And whoever that is, it's going to be a guess every day because most people have no idea who they are. You're a product of conditioned responses and behaviors and events that you've experienced in your life. And who you are today is simply that, with some basic energies as to how you interpret it. We can put 10 of you into the same room having the same experiences and you'll all interpret it differently, but the way you are and what your belief systems will end up being might be based on those experiences that you've had. And so it's time to start questioning them. This isn't a metaphysical chat, this is just obvious. How many people are getting pretty tired? How many people feel that they're not making enough money? Liars. Liars. Got 90% liars in here today. This is the decade of truth. How many of you think you aren't making enough money? It's better. That's like that bad joke I told you guys a while ago. 15% of the people masturbate and 80% lie. It's in that ballpark. So actually, if you were to rescue somebody, it'd be a perpetration. Instead of being the hero, you're actually being the bad guy. It's real important you get that. If I was to rescue my daughter, I would be her perpetrator, even if she killed herself when I didn't do it. All I would have done was perpetuated a belief system that she's going to get rescued by somebody. And that in order to get rescued, she has to go through stage 2, 3, or 4. She did tell her truth. She wanted to be rescued, and I said no. So she knew that stage 2 wasn't going to work, a temper tantrum, this and this. She went straight to 4. She knows her dad only accepts 4s. And it didn't even work. So it's real important that we look at our lives and look at ourselves and see what we're doing to ourselves to try to work through these abuse issues and this self-esteem